Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Well, good morning, everyone. We are starting a brand new series. We don't always do series, but we're excited to do this one. And the more I got ready for it, the more excited I got for it. And so tell your neighbor, we're going to study being rooted. Come on. Josh, thanks for that great little design. Did you guys know that the Bible talks about trees more than any other living thing other than people? I didn't know that until I started to study it. The Bible talks about trees more than any other thing that's living other than people in the Bible. He talks about trees. The Bible starts with a tree. The Bible ends with a tree. And all in between, he talks about trees. And how many know if you're going to be a tree, it's pretty important to be rooted. And we live in an interesting society today. I want to give you some statistics. This actually started to bubble up from something my brother said last week on Family Day. We were sitting around and having a Family Day meal, all the brothers except for my older one. He wasn't there, and my aunt and uncle and different ones were there, and we're talking. And Tim was telling about this experience of going up to Ottawa for a meeting, and as he sat there, you know, they kind of do that icebreaker, tell us who you are. And this is everyone working for the government. He has a government position. And as they went around, he realized that everyone sitting at the table in major positions had not been there for longer than, I think it was 2 years. 2 years. He has been there for 32 years. He was the only one in a major position that had been there long enough to know how all the positions work. And here you had people making decisions on positions, and they haven't even been there for 2 years. Here's some really interesting stats. Did you know that the average marriage lasts no longer than 7 years? That's usually the average is 7 years. Did you know that most people last 4 years in a job before they switch? That's crazy. How many people have worked at your job 20 years? Raise your hand. Any 30 years? How many retired at the same job you started at? Okay, raise your hands and keep it there. You retired at the same job you started at. Obviously, they're older hands because you retired, which is good. But what we're seeing here is something that will become unheard of for the most part. People change really quickly. Did you know, another little interesting fact, that 2007, the year 2007, was a major year of invention? Did anybody have kids born in 2007? I was trying to think of anybody born in 2007. I'm kind of seeing Micah. So Micah, can you stand for us, Micah, just to give us an example of somebody? Thank you, Micah. Raise your hand and say, I'm Micah. Yeah. Okay, so that gives you an example of somebody in 2007. Now, I want you to think about this. Since 2007, the iPhone was invented and released in 2007. Just in 2007, the iPhone was released, which has revolutionized, became a trendsetter. At the same time that iPhones were being released, the Android system from Google was being developed, which is the number one system as well. Okay? In 1996, DVDs were invented. 2003, the Blu-ray was invented. In 2007, Netflix went online. Has anybody been to a video store in the last Blockbuster busted? I was in a town recently. They actually still had a video store. It was way up north, Timbuktu. Think about that. In 2007, Netflix came in and radically transformed. And they said if Blockbuster had the idea and would have started it 2 years earlier, Netflix would have never have lasted. Since 2007, Sears and Toys R Us, Staples, you know, the buildings that we grew up seeing collapsed. Not Staples, Sears and Toys R Us. Did I say Staples? They were Staples. Okay. I'm getting confused with my own words. Anchor stores. Toys R Us and Sears. I never would have thought they would have went out. Some other major things. Let's make sure I got them all. First iPhone. Airbnbs were developed. Beautiful thing. Amazon Kindle in 2007 was developed. Does anybody read books, the paper version? Okay. How many have gone strictly to Kindle or to types of one hand? That's pretty amazing. Two hands. I see those hands. Any other hands? We're going to have an altar call. What's that, Pascal? You do both. She's like, I do both. I want credit for both. How many do both? You're not sure what you do, Connie?
Well, I mostly on it.
They always have explanations. Well,
when I get a used book and it's cheaper, then I'll buy it.
There you go. What is my point? Change is happening at an astronomical rate. Something that you learn today could literally next week be something different. Change is this incredible thing where even young people are saying they're having a hard time keeping up, let alone middle-aged, and I can only imagine when you're a little older. It's hard to keep up. It's like these winds constantly. You just get, I remember this commercial. This is going way back, and it was Windows, I don't even know what it was, but this guy's driving with this convertible. He's got his arm around his computer, and it's got the big, you know, let's say it's Windows 4 or something like that. And he's so proud. As in, he stops at a stoplight, there's this billboard going up, and they're putting over the Windows 4 the new billboard that says Windows 5 just released. And he's looking at his, and he's disappointed. Because that's what it feels like. Things are changing so quickly. Marriages, 7 years, like I said. Jobs, 4 point something. I think it's just 4.2 years. And we have this scriptural thing we're going to look at called being rooted, and yet it seems like being rooted is going away. And yet as Christians, if we are not rooted, we're in for a really deep surprise and a horrible life. Because I've come to realize in my 40, almost 6 years of living that you can't do it any other way than God describes. Anybody else figure out a new way? Any hands? It's funny how when you're young, you think there's got to be another way, and maybe I can skirt around it, and you find out through trial and error sometimes that the way that Jesus talks about is the way to live. And if we live it, it's actually a beautiful way to live. You know, I watch, and I love when I watch people worship because you can see that they're having an encounter or a moment. You know, and I remember reading that scripture verse for the very first time that he took our poverty, he took upon poverty so we could be wealthy. And there's all these hidden things that you're like, man, when I am rooted in him, these things are access to me. Amen? All right, so I want to show you a couple of scripture verses that we're going to lean off with. So if you could, make sure you have your Bibles, encourage you. Ephesians, let's start. Actually, you know what? Let's start in Colossians. Colossians 2. It's New Testament. Trying to find it myself. There we go. Colossians 2. And turn to verse 6. If you're there, say I'm there. It says, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ, the Lord. Okay, so talking about Christians here. These are people that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So walk in him. Then it says this, rooted and built up in him. I love that. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. But there are three words I want you to look at here. Being rooted, being built up, and being established. Those are such key words for us to walk as a Christian. It's so easy to not be rooted, not be built up, and not to be established when everything around you is shifting constantly. And I want to tell you something right up front. This does not mean that the old way of doing things is the only way of doing things. What I want you to know up front is that the how we do things may change, but the why and what we need never will. Okay? So it doesn't matter if you use an old book, meaning the Bible, or a Kindle version. Getting the word into you is the point. Okay? I want to make sure that we understand. It doesn't mean like, okay, so now to be rooted, we're only going to use King James Version. No, it doesn't mean that. But what we need as our supply is never going to change. And that is so important. So it says that we are rooted and built up in him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Everybody say abounding. That word means overflow. How many would like to stay in the place of overflowing? I think we have to become more eager for things. I want to live in the place of overflowing. Turn to Ephesians now. Let's go back a little bit. Could he give you one more scripture? Well, I'm going to give you more scriptures, but one more key scripture that you can remember. Turn to Ephesians 3. Quick test. How many did their homework from last Sunday? See, this is what we deal with. That it's so easy and so much. Donnie, you did your homework? The homework was to take some time, either by yourself, with a friend, or with your spouse, to go over your dreams and goals. My wife should have raised her hand, because we did. We spent time. So anybody else want to admit that you did your homework? Raise your hand. You can smile. If you have not done your homework yet, try to spend some time looking at the next 10 years. Did anybody come up with a dream you didn't expect? Something that leapt out of your heart that you were just kind of, wow, I didn't know that was in there. Anybody? Okay, good. All right, Ephesians 3. Let's start at verse 14. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according, here we go, to the riches of his glory. Those are great words, aren't they? Riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Two words again, rooted and grounded. Colossians said rooted and built up and established. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I want you to just keep that up there for a second. And this is a little aside, but I found this scripture yesterday. I was starting to look at the words. You know, I love to look at the different words. And I honestly fell in love with two words, filled and fullness. And as I looked them up, they actually come from similar root words. But the word filled means that you have the capacity to be completely full. Amen. So turn to your neighbor and say, whether you feel like it or not, because Christ is in you, better start there, turn to your neighbor. Whether you feel it or not, because Christ is in you, you have the ability to be full. That word fullness literally describes a ship with enough containers to do exactly what it is needed for. It's got a full cargo. It also means, you know, back in the days of rowers, it had a full amount of rowers. Like, it meant it was completely full. So that scripture literally says that you can be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Yes. I know that may seem a little like, what does that even mean? But think about it. God is fullness, and you can be filled with him. We just need to start there. And so what I began to do today as I started to fall in love with that, I literally this morning was like, Lord, I know I'm not filled, so fill me with your fullness, because I have every right to be full because of the cross. I don't have to go, oh, I'm not good enough. I just say, Lord, I know I need to be filled more, so I just rest in you and I say, fill me up, Lord. So why don't we say that together? Lord, fill us up. Fill us up to overflowing. Amen. Amen. So why are these two scriptures so important? And why is the word rooted so important? I want to show you a quick video we have. It's kind of funny because it's got music that goes with it. And at some point, David, I'm going to ask you just to pause it. So if we could have the volume, because it's such good music. And just pause it real quick. Pause it. What you're going to see is a beat. We're still going. Pause it. Pause it. Pause it. Just muted, not paused. Okay, just go ahead. Put the volume up if we can't pause it. Put the volume up. It's good music. Here we go. Just play it. Just play it. It's a bean plant. That's why I love the music. Can we bring the lights down? There we go. Day four. It's cool to watch on the side here. I want you to watch before it ever breaks out of the ground. Look at the root system. And then boom. Pretty intense music, eh? It is a ballet. The ballet of the beanstalk. Who doesn't want to dance right now? Just keeps growing. Gotta love the music. Day 19. We're going to day 25. We're almost there. I'm getting dizzy. Almost there. 24. This is just showing you the seeds or the roots. Okay, you can pause it or stop it or turn down the volume. Isn't that fascinating? 25 days. Now, I want to bring your attention to a few things. If you noticed, anybody know the name of the term for that first root? Taproot. Very good. Who yelled it out first? Who gets the prize today? Margaret and Nikita, you win the prize. See me afterwards. See Rod afterwards, actually. So the taproot goes down first. And what I love is that before that thing even breaks the ground, that taproot goes down. And as it gets far enough, all of a sudden what happens? The side horizontal roots begin to grow. And they begin to grow out. And nothing happens until those roots are growing out. I think that's such a powerful thing because so often we live in a society, you know, they call it the microwave society, whatever you want to call it. Are we not so prone to having things quickly? You know, I never lived through drive-thrus coming into being. But I'm sure for the first time a drive-through when it came in, it was like, this is incredibly fast. And now if we're like 30 seconds, where is my food? Right? We're just used to fast. I think of, you know, when my son talks about computers and all that, and we talk in terms of gigs and terabytes. You know, my first computer, I think, had 100 meg. And it was so slow, and yet we didn't notice it was slow. And now if I were to turn that computer on now, I'd be like, good Lord. Anybody remember the pet computer with the tapes that you had to use for it? Space Invaders? You know, you could go and have a meal while it was loading up. Come back and be like, yes, it's ready. And then a do-do-do-do-do-do. And we thought that was incredible. Things are changing. And we want things now. And yet what I want to show you is before that plant ever broke out, what was it creating? Roots. And what's amazing is it's not just going down. What I love is the visual of it goes like this. So before that thing even breaks out, it's got this stability that it's not going to be able to topple over. And the Bible talks over and over how much we need that. I want you to turn to a few scriptures. So I said that in Genesis, it starts with a tree. In Revelation, it ends with a tree. Turn to Psalm 1. We're just going to go through a few things. Why is it so important when we live in a day and age when things are changing, when people are changing? We're going to read that Psalms 1 and Jeremiah and James, talk about, James says it this way, you can finish it for me. Count it all joy if you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Anybody here that's been married for 50 years, I'm not talking about marriage, but it does work, that has never fell into a trial in 50 years of marriage? Any hands? Raise your hand if you've been married for a while, 20 plus years, and wait. And you've had seasons of, you guys are reading into this. I'm not trying to go that deep. Seasons of lack, where it was harder than other seasons. Raise your hand if you ever had a season like that. That's pretty much everyone, I think, that's probably been married a long time. The Bible clearly states that when you fall into various trials, in Psalm 1, we're going to read about a tree. Psalm 1, let's start with verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible is full of such wisdom. How many know that that's wisdom right there? Ungodly people have really bad counsel. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Pretty much you've got every position accounted for. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Next it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sitters of the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's this whole visual idea that the righteous are like a tree planted by the river whose roots touch the river. And because they're smart and they're like that, they're not going to wither when it's a bad season. Turn to Jeremiah, it makes it a little more clear. Jeremiah after Isaiah. Turn to Jeremiah 17, verse 7. We're going to read through, but it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. And for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. Does it say when or if? It says when heat comes, but his leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The takeaway I want you to get from this is, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When the heat comes. Pastor Rod next week is going to talk a little more about the soil and all that, but do you realize that people fall away so easily nowadays because we don't have roots? My conviction is that it's so unfortunate that marriages only make it after 7 years, because I think the fruit comes after 7 years. It's when you go through the trials that fruit is produced, isn't it? When you look back, I can look back after the last 3 years and I go, I really wish I didn't go through what I went through, my sickness and all that, but certainly I learned a whole lot from it and I'm stronger because of it. Kristen and I, our relationship is stronger because of it. You know, things that maybe were theories before are becoming more and more concrete because I had to put those theories into practice. And so often we live in a place and a generation and a time frame where hard is looked at as bad. And yet hard is when the roots go deep. And if we don't take the time to let the roots go deep, we'll go to another job. We'll go to another marriage. And how many know you'll never find happiness? Because every marriage will have trials. We are perfect parents. See, my daughters are clapping for us. Perfect. Do I hear an amen from the back row for my son? We are not perfect parents, but I'd like to say that we'd be perfect parents. I think we've done a lot of things right, but my kids still fall into challenges. I wish I could guard them from every challenge they would ever fall into. But if I did, what would I be doing? I would be robbing them of the opportunity to grow roots. Some of the stories that I've read, I have a book that talks about generations. Some of the stories are absolutely incredible. None of you are like this. Don't raise your hand if you are, please. Some of the stories of parents that have kids in college are funny. The one I heard that I thought was the greatest was, this is a university. The mom called and asked for the president of, I kid you not, this is a real story, asked for the president of the university. So I don't know how she got him on the phone, but she was able to. You know what she asked? My daughter's name is Jill. Can you make sure she wears her jacket today? Because it's a little cool. He thought it was a prank, but it was real. Can you imagine your daughter being in university? I remember Krista, I think it was Tara had a friend, and the mom every day would get up, make her lunch, go out, start the car, scrape her window for her daughter. I'm like, do you know what you're doing to your daughter? Like, no roots whatsoever. The reality is none of us like those seasons. I don't like getting up and going out into the cold and scraping my window. But if our life is so easy, we never grow any roots whatsoever. And the Bible clearly states that we will fall into different challenges. But the point of the series is that we want to be like the tree that's by the river that has its roots in the water. So even when the drought comes, the promise is that our leaves will not wither. Isn't that great news that we may go through a trial, but it doesn't mean the trial will destroy us. We'll actually come out better. Okay, that's good news, people. Everybody say, that's good news. That you can go through a trial and come out. You know, it's like they went into the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. So we can go through trials and come out, and people go, man, I expected you to be down, but you're up. How is that possible? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, I think it's absolutely incredible how much nature, you know, I never thought like this before, but I want to show you one video. Anybody ever amazed with skyscrapers? Like Dubai and the skyscrapers that are in Dubai? Incredible. Now, here's the cool thing about skyscrapers. We're going to show you a quick video. This is actually 11-year time lapse of the New World Trade Center going up. Have you ever been, you know, in our community in Cottom, a lot of houses have gone up in a subdivision. Anybody ever walk by and it's like the process of building the foundation seems to take forever? And it's like they're digging, they're putting rock down, all these things. And it's like over and over again, every day there's no progress. It seems like there's no progress. And then they got the blocks up and then they pour the cement. They got the rebar and it's just over and over. They take the blocks off. I don't know about you, but often I'll look at that foundation. I'll be like, man, that is going to be a really small house. It just looks so deceiving. And after all these weeks of this pouring, you walk by 2 days later and they've got the frame up. The whole house is already up. It's like slow, boom. And you know, building a skyscraper is the same. You'll watch and it takes them forever and they don't even show the whole process. But here's the cool thing, because I wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about. When they do a skyscraper, it's not like a house where you can just pour a house. You know, they go deep if they have a basement. A skyscraper, man, they dig and they try to find bedrock. Most of the time, they can't find bedrock. So do you know what they do? They put like a taproot all through, and sometimes they go 30 to 100 feet down to lock into the bedrock. 30 to 100 feet down with these huge beams that they drill into the ground to make sure that that structure or the grounded cement that they're going to pour is locked into the bedrock. So play that video for a second, David. So I want you to think of these towers that go up. This is, again, the World Trade Center, the new one. Like, they don't even show you that hole being dug. Look how deep that hole is. Now watch how quickly that structure goes up. remarkable what they can build. Isn't that absolutely incredible? But to know that the only reason that thing can withstand winds and earthquakes is because that root, those rebar that go down 30 to 100 feet to lock into the bedrock. You lock into anything else, right? I think there's a parable about this, isn't there? Where Jesus talks about you either want to be built on a rock and you're going to, and by the way, it doesn't say if the winds come, if the rains come, it says when the rains come, you're not going to be pushed over. You're not going to fall over. You're not going to crumble. But it says if you're on the sand, if your whole foundation and your roots are built in the sand, you're going to fall apart. So Isaiah 58:12 is one of the verses that you know I love. It's part of my life message. But it says we're to rebuild the foundations of many generations. And I believe right now the call on the church is to become fathers and mothers to help rebuild the foundations. Amen. Because it is so easy to think that, and again, I'm not against technology and all that, but if we don't teach the next generation to have foundational principles and roots in their life, we're in trouble. Don't raise your hand for this. There are more kids that are being raised today that have no clue of any character, any person in the Bible than ever before. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know who Moses is. They don't know who Adam and Eve are. It's just some fairy tale book as far as they're concerned. We have a generation that's rising up that have never been taught financial principles, don't know how to balance a checkbook, don't know how to balance anything, don't know how to cook meals. All the things that were so foundational. So why is that important? Well, because we want to have good finances and be good stewards of our money. Why do we want to cook our meals? Because it's way more financially responsible and you can sit together and have a meal together. All the things that were so normal are being lost. And if we don't rise up as fathers and mothers and begin to teach the roots, we're going to be in trouble. But it's another route, like we can come in and we can worship and we love the Lord and we love to worship. But you know what? That is one that we're going to talk about over this series. But if you don't have the word of God implanted in you, you're in trouble. Turn to John 15. There's no better scripture that talks about it. So we had two scriptures that talk about being planted by the water, letting our roots go in. Now we're going to look at John 15. I'm going to close with this. John 15, verse 1. So the first thing I want you to understand that when we talk about being rooted, it is for being established and strengthened so we will not fall over when the wind comes. We will not wither when the heat comes. We have to have it. Again, I love that illustration of the tap root going down and these four or five roots going that hang onto the ground and say, okay, plant, go ahead. You can start growing now because we're ready to hold you. And that whole 25-day period, the one thing that did not happen in those 25 days, does anybody know what did not happen in those 25 days at the end? Fruit. We were just about to get to the fruit, and then they stopped the video. I'm so disappointed. But I want you to think about that. It's also like that tower. That tower is being built, and in my mind, the fruit is going to come when they have this office space. When the companies get into the office for the first time and begin to produce in their company, they're going to bear fruit. But how long did it take for the plant to grow and for that skyscraper? 11 years to grow before they could get in there and be fruitful. But we're living in a generation where I want to be fruitful tomorrow. You know, one of the things that we'll probably have to talk about at some point is how to steward prophetic words. Because so often, anybody ever get a prophetic word? You thought tomorrow this is happening. You know, anybody else other than Rod and I? Put up your hand, Rod. Put it up. Thank you, Rod and I. You get a prophetic word about the wife. You know, God's ordained a beautiful wife for you, and you're 12 years old, and you're like, I'm getting married tomorrow. Best news ever. Mom and Dad, prepare yourself. Only to find out, you know, 14 years later, she walks into your life. So often, we think it's a now word and not to realize that, you know, we'll talk about this at some point. David, he's ordained king, and then he's got almost 20 years of training. Joseph, who gets this incredible prophetic word. My brothers, you're going to bow to me. My dad, he's going to bow to me too. This is a great word. Only to find out 20 years later, it's going to come to pass and nothing like he thought it was going to happen. We have got to start letting the roots of our life go down deep. John 15 talks about this word, abide. I just want to say one thing. Did you know that plants should be the best indicator of what our life should be like? So first of all, roots go down. Anybody in the fall, you go to take your plants out of your pots and you go to pull it out, you go to pull the plant out, and what happens often? The whole thing comes up because you got these massive roots. So that's an indicator of what we should look like. But the other thing I've realized, our room is downstairs in the basement and I love plants. And I have to make sure I water them and not Krista. Just a little aside. You know what's really cool though? What do plants always do with sunlight? They grow up, they reach, and they turn. So almost daily, I have to go in with this plant that's getting huge in my bedroom, and I have to turn it because the whole plant's leaning. And I thought, isn't it amazing that even the plants know to lean into the sun? Lean into the sun. I'm like, Lord, nature shows us the simplicity of what it looks like, and we're always looking for a deeper, harder answer. And in John 15, we're going to learn it's like, lean into the sun. All right, John 15. Again, it's not a tree, but it is a tree. It's a vine. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Some translations say gardener. I think it's absolutely incredible that when Mary runs to the tomb after Jesus' resurrection, do you know who she meets or she thinks it is? The gardener. Begins in a garden, ends in a garden. Jesus' resurrection, he's talking about Father being a gardener. Like, Jesus is into plants. But by the way, you are a tree. Isaiah 15 and Isaiah 61 talk about you being a tree of righteousness. So turn to your neighbor and say, man, you are an amazing tree. That's the best compliment you've had all day. Okay, I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Actually, there's other translations that word it better because what it means is they actually prop it up. He props it up off the ground so it can begin to bear fruit again. So what it's basically saying is if you're not bearing fruit, there's good news. At any moment, he can come in and begin to teach you to bear fruit again. That's good news. That's worth an amen. 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 He takes away in every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That is such a point blank scripture. Basically it's saying if your roots do not go into the soil of life, you're not going to produce fruit. And in a second, we are going to find out it starts in Genesis, and the first thing he's going to say is, be fruitful and multiply. So you want to be rooted, and you want to be bearing fruit. And there's a whole lot of scriptures that go along with that, but you need to know that God calls you to be fruitful. To the point where in John 15:8 it says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear fruit. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're called to bear fruit. Not just multiply. Every time Steve goes to work, God wants him to bear fruit. Wants him to bear fruit in his family. Wants him to bear fruit in relationships, at work. We're called to bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit unless your roots are in the soil. So I want you to remember two things that I'm trying to get across. A, that if you want stability in your life when the winds come, your roots got to go deep and they got to go out. And if you want to have fruit in your life and you want to grow something worthwhile, your roots have got to go deep and they got to grow out. Because if you don't nourish it, I have a plant right now I'm so frustrated with because it's not flowering. It's probably the wrong time of the year, right? I don't know. But to me, it's so weird that I have a plant in my house. The other plant's growing huge, but these vines should be flowering, and I'm frustrated with it because it's supposed to flower. It's supposed to be growing something, and so are you. And here's the awesome thing about it. Do flowers really have to try to produce? Does fruit really have to try to produce? The plant doesn't like work hard to produce fruit. It's simply the byproduct. If it's in the right nourishment, it's a byproduct. So when we are rooted and grounded, the byproduct is fruit. Read a little more here. Where were we at? John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withers, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. We're living in an hour as a church, the body of Christ as a whole, that we have to begin to not only evangelize, share the good news of the gospel, but we have got to learn to begin to disciple. Because we're seeing people can be in church for 20 years and still have zero roots. Going to church is an important part of learning and growing, but going to church is not abiding. Abiding is something that we learn to do leaning into the sun on a daily basis. And I have learned, and sometimes you learn the easy way and sometimes you learn the hard way, we could get busy in life and go a couple days, a week, and before you know it, you're like, man, I haven't really gotten into the scriptures lately. And if you're really astute, you begin to go, you know what, and I feel it. We're going to talk about abiding in the word at a later date and open that up a little more. There is no way around growing roots in Jesus. There's no quick way. You know, you can't do a little miracle grow and in 2 days you're going to have the roots that you need to go and run. You know, if somebody got saved today and wanted to go into politics tomorrow to be a Christian politician, I'd say, hold on, because you're going to get destroyed. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be preparing. You know, even Paul went on the backside of a desert. He had to get all this revelation inside of him. He had to grow even as the Apostle Paul, who had all the knowledge before this. He still had to go and get the revelation inside of him. We don't want to be people that are like, you can't do anything until you're strong. But we also don't want to be people and go, do whatever you want, but you have no roots. There has got to be a medium where we begin to build people up and bless them and prophesy into their life, but at the same time go, let me show you how to get into the word. Let me show you how to worship. Let me show you how to pray. Because if you don't have these foundations and these roots, you are going to get trampled over. Your tree is going to fall over at the first wind. You want to bear root, and that's up here, but you don't even have, like, did you see all the roots that were formed before it even popped its head out? Isn't that amazing? And I think that's why we can take David and Joseph and we'll look at those stories, because they got these prophetic words. And David's the most amazing one because he's like, wow, I've just been anointed king. Back to the sheep. That's what he did. His training was being running all over the countryside trying to be killed. Like, that's what how he was being trained. By the king. And he's already anointed king, and this is getting ugly. He's supposed to serve the king, but he's been anointed king. And yet God had this plan all the time, and he was weaving a story through it. I want to encourage us as a congregation. You know, we've been through some things over the last couple of years, and sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't understand it. But it's funny when you step back and you begin to go, oh, but look at the roots that you're establishing. Look how deep you're going. Look how deep you're going. I was blessed. I talked with Joe and Eva the other day. Why don't you wave your hand so everybody know who Joe and Eva are. So, you know, if you haven't had a chance to meet them. And I was really blessed by your words because Joe came in and knew us from before. And I love, you know, it was so honoring that you came in to see He's like, I knew you guys, but I walk in here and I see the foundation that you've established as a church. Years of plowing, years of praying, years of worshiping. And that's why I believe we're in a season where God wants us to be ready to build explosively. In that video, when you see it, like they're like doing all these things, and I don't even fully understand what they're doing. And all of a sudden, you start to see it, and then boom, it starts to grow. Again, I go back to it's like we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting, not realizing that our foundation's going deeper and deeper and deeper. And all of a sudden, boom, you start to grow. I love it. That thing bursts out of the ground, and as soon as it does, it starts to grow. And so you and I, we can choose to either be a little teeny house or a massive skyscraper. I don't know about you, but whatever God's called me to be, I want to be. And hey, it's great. If we're a house, awesome. But I'll tell you, I personally believe everyone in here is called to do amazing things for the Lord. And we need to have a strong foundation. We're living in a day and age where things are changing quickly. I have a lot of hope for the future, but I also am not dumb. Things are changing quickly. Laws are being passed that are absolutely mind-boggling. I read articles and I'm like, did we just get taken over by aliens or something? Because honestly, some of the laws don't even make sense. And we're going to have to live. But the church can flourish in challenging times. Absolutely. Your marriage can flourish during challenging times. Your kids can flourish during challenging times. And it's our job to go, hey, I'm going to help you get the roots deeper. When we worship today, did you know your roots were going deeper? I personally believe the taproot is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And I believe the other roots are prayer and worship and abiding in Him. And when we allow those things to happen, our lives are about to be explosive. But for all the young people in here, young adults, youth, there's no other way. I want you to hear me. There's no other way. So often we want to be strong in another way. There is no other way. You got to grow your roots in the Word. Amen? Why don't you stand? Father God, we thank you. Lord, I thank you that at any moment we can turn to you and get reestablished in you. Lord, I thank you that for many of us, we've been plowing for many years. We've been sowing for many years. Lord, I thank you that there is coming a season of reaping. As our roots have gone deep, as we've had the wind hit us and the rain, Lord, I thank you that you are about to explode in people's lives. And Lord, I also ask for people that are in here that have never, ever spent time with you, that this would be a season of learning to abide in you. And Lord, as we talk about this over the next few weeks, that we would begin to realize that it's not religion and it's not duty, it's a relationship. And that we get to simply sit before you and talk to you like any other relationship. And the cool thing is that you want to talk back. Lord, you want to teach us wisdom. You want to give us life. You want to give us nutrients. You want to give us hope. And so, Lord, we welcome the process over the next couple of weeks that you would begin to go deeper than you ever have before. Lord, I pray especially for the younger ones, the children, the youth, young adults, that Lord, that they would begin to have roots that would strengthen them for the years to come. And I thank you that you've called many of them to do great works, all of them to do great works, and some of them will be in places that will greatly affect decisions even for our nation. And you want to teach them, Lord, how to have roots so when the wind blows hard, they will not topple over. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us as fathers and mothers to teach them how to have roots. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.